Did you know I met Lizzo?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, this is true. So before she was super famous, let me break it down for you.
Please do.
I was in Seattle, and I got invited to go to a show of Pizza Underground, which was with Macaulay Culkin. Is this true? Sounds true. So, like, we were going to go to the show. So, they were performing.
Like a band?
Yeah.
Pizza Underground?
Yeah. And they ordered a pizza, and they would, like, pass the pizza out in the show. So people were, like, passing around a big pizza box, and we were all taking pizza.
It already has Macaulay Culkin. Does the band need another hook? It feels like a hat on a hat. Unless Macaulay Culkin was just so worried that his name no longer was a draw. He's like, I need to offer pizza.
It feels like a pizza on a Macaulkin.
Anyway, I was just happy to be there. I wasn't questioning things or thinking how they could be better. And the opener was a yet-to-be-famous Lizzo. And I was in the front row, and I was, like, right next to the stage, and she was, like, touching people's hands. So I put my hand out, and she touched my hand, and she had such soft skin. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you sure Lizzo wasn't the one who had pizza going around?
Oh, you.
You made pizza sound like a disease just now. She had pizza going around.
Ugh, there's a cream for that now, though.
It's cream cheese. Anyway, when I left the show, I remembered that I was walking over a bridge, and on the bridge there was a sign that said "Don't jump" and a phone number.
And it was Lizzo's phone number.
When you said you were walking over a bridge, I was picturing like a scenic little bridge over like a tiny little like stream.
No,
like a little wooden bridge, you know, just kind of like a cute little bridge. And so it was "Don't jump." And I was like, "Oh, that's
must be a weak bridge.
What's the worst that can happen? You get your ankles a
ankle
little
injury.
Wet.
Don't jump."
Yeah,
and something else happened too.
Oh no,
it was on the same trip. So they have this place called, I think it's called Dick's. I hope it is.
Sporting Goods?
No, it's like a. Is it called Dick's? It's a hamburger place. It's cash only.
Where is this?
Seattle.
Oh, okay. Seattle, right. You did say that.
Okay. Anyway, so I had to use cash because there was cash only. So I was like away from the thing and I was like counting my money. And this lady came up and she goes, "Hey, you want to hook me up with some fries, Rob Pat?" Robert Patterson was big at the time. And I like...
Wait, Patterson?
Yeah.
Pattinson.
No, this is the author's son.
Robert Otherson.
You know the one, the vampire.
Yeah.
Well, she called me Rob Pat.
Because she didn't know either.
I had sunglasses on. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's Patterson or Pattinson. Better just go with Pat.
That's so weird. I always call him Ertinson.
Hey, Rob. She wanted fries. So she's like, "Going to hook you up some fries?" And I was like, no, sorry. And I was like counting my money to make sure I had enough. She goes, "Psh, don't count your money like you think I'm going to steal from you." And I was like, what?
Maybe it's like counting your money to see how much money you have.
Yeah, it's exactly cash only. I didn't know her name, so I couldn't call her by her name. You know, like, Deborah, come on.
Kirstu. Wait, Kristen? Kirsten Stewart? Kristen? We don't know any of the Twilight actors. Which one is it?
It's Kristen.
It's Kristen.
Kristen. Kristen. Stewart.
Okay. I think I said Kirstu.
Oh. Yeah, like Rob Pat. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you just didn't know the name Kristen. Kirstu Stewart.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff makes me uncomfortable because I never know what to say. I mean, now I could be aggressive, but like back then I was just a young child.
I'm glad.
Oh, I thought we were gonna high five.
I'm glad you've
gotten aggressive.
Gotten aggressive, yeah. That's the Francis I know and love.
He's gonna walk over me.
Nope.
I'll take us both out.
Yeah, exactly. That that undercurrent of suicidal tendencies. It makes you a danger to yourself and to others.
It's called a riptide. Man, yeah. It looks real gentle from a distance.
Yeah, that bridge story would have gone real differently. If
no one tells me what to do.
Defiant suicide. Welcome to Very Fine Friends. A podcast where friends talk about stuff.
About defiant suicide.
Yeah. You know what I always thought was very interesting? The MASH theme song. You know that song?
We did the MASH. The Monster MASH.
Do you know what it's called, though? What the real song is called?
No.
Suicide is Painless.
Suicide is Painless is the name of the MASH theme song.
I knew it.
Yeah. You knew suicide was painless? No, I think it can be painful.
You're right.
But that, I just says that, like, when I found out, I was like, what a dark, dark name for that song. That is dark,
yeah.
Especially because it, like, ends on kind of like a... Like it ends.
Wait,
on,
is that
like,
the...
No, I think it's more of like a...
What? No?
No. Was I right?
No, I was trying.
Oh.
I wanted to feel included.
Joe was joshing around. He was joeing around.
He's just joshing. He's just being a goof.
Just goofing.
Goofing. We're all just goofing.
Goofing and boofing.
We're just God's gophers here goofing on the goof land.
Quick interruption. Every week on the podcast, we do something where our producer Joe gives Francis and I each our own secret word. Throughout the course of the podcast, we need to find a way to slip the secret word into our conversation without the other person noticing. If the other person can correctly guess the secret word, they get a point. And right before we die, we add up all the points. And then we get a prize, whoever has the most points for guessing the most secret words. Here's Joe with today's secret words.
Not today, Joe. I'm taking over. My secret word is generating. My decoy word is firestorm. Francis's secret word is anorexia. Francis's decoy word is inconsolable. Back to the pod.
On this positive suicide note, I think we need to bring something productive into the world. Let's get to the invention of the week. Inventions.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so we're doing things a little differently this
week.
I know. Sorry, listeners, we're going to mix it up a little bit. So, Francis's advice for how to invent things is, do you have a problem in your life? Oh, well, just figure out how to fix that problem. Like, what's something that annoys you? Then that's suddenly a new invention. You figure out how to fix it, new invention. Well, there was something that I noticed that I think is kind of a general annoyance and problem, and probably for everybody in the world. And I don't know how to fix it. I've been thinking about it for days. So we're going to brainstorm. We're going to see if we can invent on the fly. So, Francis, I'm going to tell you what my problem is. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know how you brush your teeth?
I do know that sometimes.
And you know how the toothpaste often, like the farther and farther along you get in using the toothpaste, you get like residual toothpaste around the edge of the opening where it's
because I do know that
when you're either with a tube or even with a little stand-up bottles, which are superior to tubes. I don't know why they don't do more of those. Cause you've got to, you pump the toothpaste out of the tube and then you've got to like push it off onto the toothbrush. Right. So inevitably a little bit goes over the edge. So then, eventually, you're getting to the point where it's just toothpaste, just like gobs of extra toothpaste are around the edge and toothpaste gets everywhere.
I've got it.
Wait, okay.
You already have. Okay. I want to invent something that is like a clean. So from the entire time you're using it, it's a clean, like, slice. It doesn't build up gobs of toothpaste around the opening of the toothpaste tube or container, whatever.
Okay.
All right. I can see the wheels turning, but Joe claims to have it already.
Let's hear it. Jofer.
It's called the paste pump. And
we start and name first.
Yes. Okay. What it is it's basically like a little hand soap dispenser, but it's toothpaste inside. And there's a strip of very strong proprietary adhesive on the back of it that you peel off, stick it against your wall at about shoulder height so that you can very conveniently just press it while you slide your toothbrush underneath it. So then it's a precise motion. You're not losing any toothpaste.
Here's the problem, though. Toothpaste is viscous. You need to, like, cut it off. You need to do that thing where you, like, put your toothbrush. There's the toothbrush is too integral in cutting off the stream of toothpaste. And so inevitably, you're always going to get that, like, little bit that comes up, and no matter what the dispensing system.
It's the same principle as hot dogs, or as ketchup and mustard on a hot dog.
Yeah.
When they have those little things that you just slide the hot dog under.
But what I'm saying is that's more liquidy. So it naturally cuts itself off a little bit more.
No, you still have to cut it off with a hot dog. Just think of your toothbrush as like a tiny hot dog, Jenna.
No, you don't have to cut it off with a hot dog necessarily. But either way, there's still like residual mustard and ketchup on one of those pumps.
On my pumps.
Okay.
Not the way I pump them.
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
I think the key here is I have two options.
Okay.
Here's one that's fun. The bottom of your toothbrush. So we have a little dispenser, and you take the bottom of your toothbrush and you stick it in the dispenser, and it puts like a little tiny little cloth like cover on the bottom of your toothbrush. And then when you're done getting the toothpaste, you can use that to wipe off the excess toothpaste.
So you're just constantly wiping it. So you don't fix the problem necessarily. You just have a constant cleaning solution.
Well, you're already going to be there getting the toothbrush or toothpaste. So you could just turn it over and wipe it real quick in one motion, then brush, and then you could knock it into the garbage. That's one option.
Okay.
Here's another fun one.
Hmm.
Toothpaste guillotine.
I was thinking something along those lines too. I was thinking that, but then the guillotine would then just get toothpaste-y, right?
No one likes a pasty guillotine.
Yes. Yes. There's also brushing teeth and shower.
What?
It doesn't. Sometimes people brush their teeth in the shower.
That sounds disgusting to me.
Don't you want your toothbrush near your genitals?
Strangely, no.
I don't think it would be.
Well, if I do, I want it to be my choice.
Where are your teeth, Jenna?
Francis, it's time to tell you about the human vagina.
No, Daddy, no.
There's teeth down there.
Well, I'm...
Yeah.
I know.
I know that. I know more than you.
I'm smarter than you.
Okay, so you have qualms about the guillotine.
Well, only... I love the guillotine idea, because that's what I was thinking too.
It's just transferring the problem to a different place.
Yes. The guillotine would then become itself, would get the residual.
Wait a minute.
What?
Why are we acting crazy right now? I've got it.
Okay.
We invent a new toothbrush that's thicker than a normal toothbrush, and we have toothpaste cylinders that go into the toothbrush. And then there's like a thing near the head where you twist it, and it comes out into like the middle of the toothbrush. And then who gives a shit?
Yeah, I was thinking like little cyanide, like instead of toothpaste, it's like little cyanide capsules of toothpaste. And then you put it in your mouth and then you start brushing and then it just breaks on impact.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not losing any
toothpaste. Well, they have stuff like that. I just assume we were keeping toothpaste, but maybe.
Wait. So describe this again.
Here, let me explain it again.
Please do.
So you have a toothbrush. It's normal, right?
Okay.
Imagine you have the same thing, but it's a little bit, the handle is a little bit fatter. Because inside, you can put in a tube, like a small tube of toothpaste, which obviously they're going to come in cylinders now because they're going to fit in your toothbrush. So it goes in, clicks into place. When it clicks, it punctures it open. It's all very Japanese.
Mm.
And then at the near the where the bristles are going to be, beneath that, there's like a twisty things for, so that you can twist the toothpaste out of the tube and onto the brush. Then you never have to worry about, oh, there's some left because it's never going to be an issue.
And then it would also always be twisting from the bottom so the toothpaste would always be going up through the tube. It's not like the psychopaths who squeeze from the middle of the tube.
No.
Yeah. Instead of going from the bottom up.
Oh my gosh. What if it was like toothpaste in like a little like thing like this? Like you have like hair gel or pomade or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can just scoop it out with your toothbrush.
They have that.
They do?
They do?
Seriously?
So this is what it feels like to be me, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this was you a few minutes ago with vaginas and teeth, so don't act all high and mighty.
You're right. I got to stay low to the ground.
We invented vaginas with teeth.
Yeah, it's real. They have tooth powder. They have the tablets like you were talking about.
Wow.
I kind of don't like the idea of the tooth powder because...
I don't either.
Like, I guess you could maybe take it with your fingers and sprinkle it on, but I don't like the idea of you dipping your toothbrush that you've already put in your mouth. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is then, yeah, you're... So it would still have the texture, like they sell it still like the consistency that toothpaste is right now.
What's
in
the
that little like pomade jar?
No, it's like they might. I mean, I'd be surprised if they didn't have that, but they also have like a mineralized powder toothbrush or toothpaste.
Hmm.
They call it tooth powder. They have the tablets like Joe was talking about where you just.
I've never heard of the tablets.
It's good for traveling because then you could just like crunch it and brush.
Crunch and brush.
Ooh.com.
Okay. I like this toothbrush idea. It also would be good for traveling because it minimizes space. You could still theoretically just have like, you know, your travel container for your toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
We could make it TSA compliant.
So oh, yeah, we can do all that.
Cool. What are we going to call it? I like this. The toothbrush, I feel like, solves...
Wait, which one are we settling on?
The toothbrush with the canister in it that you click in, and then you just kind of twist the bottom of the toothbrush, mm-hmm. and it dispenses toothpaste directly into the bristles.
I think we should call it the Brizzly Bear.
The Brizzly Bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't handle the tooth.
That makes me think that someone has one big tooth they're brushing.
Well, I was just thinking because you put the canister in the handle and you use it on your teeth. So you can't handle the tooth.
I didn't even pick up on the handle part of it.
Yeah.
You can handle the tooth.
Well, you can't. Tooth tubes.
Jubies tooth tubies.
Jubies tooth tubies? Write it down. That has name power. Jubies tooth tubies. I'm buying one. Our faces could be on the refill tubes.
Oh, yeah. We could each have our own flavor. Were you getting a Francis, a Jenna, or a Joe?
What are our flavors?
What mint flavor do you want? It's got to be mint, right? You can't do anything.
No, you could be Fruity Francis.
I have a feeling Francis doesn't like that nickname.
I'm not. I'm not doing that. You're right. I think you're right about the mint. I think a nice Andes mint could be fun.
It's like a chocolate mint?
Yeah, we'll do a partnership.
Andes.
Or we'll just call it Andrew's mint. And then two middle fingers.
Your flavor could be chocolate-covered pretzel. And the toothpaste stays hard when it's wet.
No, it's Andrew's mint. But yes.
I never understood anything like sugar related in toothpaste. It's like that just, even if it doesn't actually have sugar in it, it just feels like you're putting it back on your teeth and you're trying to get it off.
What if you forgot and you ate it?
Can I confess something? Well, and before I make this confession, I want to clarify, I am the only one that uses my toothpaste. It's not shared toothpaste. Sometimes if I don't feel like brushing my teeth, but I mean, I always brush my teeth at the regular times of day, but if I like extra, I brush my teeth no less than 3 times a day.
You brush your teeth 3 times a day?
Yeah. Wow. What?
3 times?
I brush mine 2 on a good day.
Oh, I never brush less than 2. Always when I wake up and always when I go to bed. There might be a time that I don't in between, but usually midday I'll brush again too. But anyway, the point is, if I just want a quick hit of fresh breath, I'll stick the tube up to my mouth and just lick some off. Like, I'll squeeze a little and lick just...
That's not weird.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll just get Listerine.
Yeah,
sometimes it's not around. Always know where to find toothpaste.
And Listerine, that's a different... You still gotta, like, swish, and this is just like, I'm just eating it, and it's, like, in my mouth. Like, that's
just like a little tiny lick.
Yeah.
Gives her some wintergreen or...
Well, I like Listerine because on the bottle it says that it gives you a fresher and cleaner mouth feel than brushing alone. And I just like seeing the words mouth feel on my Listerine.
Fun fact. They put the word feel on there to get out of legal responsibility. Gives you a cleaner mouth feel. It isn't actually cleaner, but it feels like it is. It
feels cleaner, yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know anything. Don't sue us.
It used to say it gives you a cleaner mouth in inarguable truth of the universe. It's absolutely factual.
Which was a weird thing to put on a bottle.
Yeah, it really was. The bottle was much bigger to fit all that text.
Oh.
Thank God we have a lawyer on staff.
It just hits me just now. You never used to do this as like a meal replacement, did you?
Eating toothpaste?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because I was worried. I was worried you were like just admitting, like, oh, maybe I had a little anorexia. Like,
I used to eat toothpaste. Yeah. No. I'm not psychotic.
Okay.
To our listeners that do eat that as a meal, I'm sorry, that's psychotic. Don't do that.
To our listeners who do eat that as a meal, we love you.
We love you. We do love you, which is why we're telling you don't do that anymore.
We'll give you a sample pack.
Oh, sure, and then that's a free meal.
Yeah.
Is toothpaste edible?
Yeah. Yes, we put it into our mouths every day.
What do you think Jenna has been subsisting on for these many years?
Listerine's not edible. You have to spit it out when you're done. So I'm just curious.
No, you can swallow it.
You can swallow like mouthwash?
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean,
really?
It would be Bernie and it would like make your...
Hi, I'm Bernie.
I'm in your throat right now.
No, it just isn't good. I mean, but it's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. There's definitely...
It's not like bleach, Francis.
Also, you can drink bleach. You can.
Jenna's like, we're talking about 2 of the 3 major foods in my food diet.
You just describe breakfast and lunch, my man.
We have to change a song title from the beginning of the episode. Suicide is painful. Yeah. Now.
No, I mean, you don't want to have a ton of... But like, you can dilute bleach and drink it. It's totally fine. You can not dilute it and drink it. It'll just... painful going down.
It will kill you.
No, I'm pretty sure you can drink bleach. Listeners, try drinking bleach and get back to us and tell us your status. No, I'm telling you. This is my advice to you. Not a lot of bleach. Everything in moderation.
Quick interruption. Don't drink bleach.
Thank you.
But anyway.
You know what I never understood? And this is going to be so boring to listen to. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You know how there's the pH scale? Mm-hmm. So there's like acids and bases. So I knew that like acids, like a hydrochloric acid, right, could like kill you. So I never understood how a base could kill you too. I thought like a base would be safe then. That's not the case.
Bases can kill you too?
Yes. You really want to stay in the middle.
Yeah.
Moderation.
Moderation. Exactly. Just like with drinking bleach.
Well, it's the same with food too. If you eat too much food, it could kill you. And if you eat not enough food, it could also kill you.
There's only one of those that I'm interested in trying.
Okay, so we have the grizzly bear. You can't handle the tooth. Juby's tooth doobies. We each came up with a name. We were each generating a name for this. I am proud of us for that.
Time for a pretzel.
Yes, listeners, one thing you don't know is we have chocolate-covered pretzels here in the studio. So if you hear any extra crunching, that's what's going on.
That was Joe.
There goes Joe, just to prove it.
Mm. This episode is sponsored by pretzels.
Mm.
Get the goody Juby crunch. Thanks.
Juby.
Thanks. More ads should end with thanks.
Juby's out to lunch. Juby's gonna munch. Juby's got that crunch. Juby's.
All right. Well, thank you for solving my problem, Francis. See, I knew you could do it.
Thank you.
I helped.
You were there, yeah.
You did help. The ultimate invention came from Francis. So.
Hey. Sorry. You're a good namer.
And I'm good at nothing.
State
so.
Farm is there.
Like a good namer?
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up the invention of the week. It's time for our next segment, Dr. Truth. Need advice? Ask Dr. Truth. So, in this segment, Joe is going to be asking Francis and I life advice questions that he's gotten from our many, many listeners that have submitted. And they've all submitted anonymously, but...
Cowards.
Cowards. But Francis and I will be answering them as the best of our ability. Similar to a Dr. Ruth, but for copyright reasons, not Dr. Ruth. So, what's our first question? What can we help you with, listeners?
All right, our first question is from a listener in the Midwest.
Mm.
What's your solution for stopping yourself from flying off the handle at someone when they upset you?
Well, I'm not sure if Francis is the right one to answer this question.
This listener actually specifically requested Francis's answer.
Okay, well, do you want me to answer first or do you want to answer?
Go ahead if you got something.
I do.
Notice how calm I am right now.
Mm-hmm. So, listener, what you're going to want to do is go to McDonald's and get a whole bunch, as many ketchup packets as they will let you have. You're going to need a lot of ketchup packets. Specifically McDonald's ketchup packets. Even though they say, I think they say they're Heinz, there's something about them they're not. It's specifically made for McDonald's. It's different. Put as much ketchup as you can into a bowl and then have that bowl with you at all times. Then, at any point in time, if you get upset, you take your right hand, put it in the bowl of ketchup, pull it out,
And then you realize you've got ketchup all over your hands. And now you've got a whole new problem to deal with. And you can't think about what made you angry. Now you've got to, like, get ketchup off your hands before it gets all over the place. Because ketchup stains and ketchup gets all over the place. So you're basically creating a new problem to distract yourself. And I recommend ketchup. I also recommend, if you're really serious about this process, wearing head-to-toe white, like the Good Humor Man. That'll really help make this solution stick. Or not stick, because you don't want the ketchup on you. But anyway, basically, you're distracting yourself with a new problem. I call it ketchup hands. That's my advice.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
How to stop yourself from flying off the handle at someone. I like to do a little thing I call, and other people call, imagining. Okay. Mm. Who is this person that I'm mad at? What made them who they are today? Here's something I noticed. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a chapter before me. What was in that chapter? So before I get really mad now, I just assume something horrible happened to them. They had bad parents. They had a bad day. They got assaulted. You know, maybe they spilled coffee on themselves. And it happened right before our interaction. So yes, I could very well be in the right. Usually always am when I get mad. I don't get mad because I'm in the wrong. That's actually in the legal language of being upset. Why would I be upset if I was wrong?
You wouldn't. You're a reasonable human being.
That's a bumper sticker waiting to be printed. So even though I'm like, okay, so first I applaud myself because it's like, you're right and it's good to be right. So if nothing else, you have your accuracy, you know? They might not see it your way, but guess what? At the end of the day, you're going home right. They don't have that. Then I feel, what comes up next? Pity. I feel bad for them because they're not right. Then I think they're wildly stupid. More pity. They're stupid. They can't help it. Right? Stupid people can't not be stupid.
No.
All right. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed to be right and be smart.
Hmm.
And then this is all happening internally, but it is taking time. So they're probably leaving while I'm doing all this math. By the time I come back to the situation, there's no one to be mad at because they're gone.
Your solution is just think about a lot of other shit to distract yourself until they leave.
Yeah.
Okay. So yours is a mental solution. Mine's a physical solution.
Yeah.
But both involve distracting yourself from whatever is making you angry.
You're right. That was a very good, succinct wrap up.
Thank you.
Our next question is from a listener in Trinidad and Tobago.
Trinidadian and Toboggan.
How do I make my house inhospitable enough that my mother-in-law won't want to stay with us?
Ugh, mother-in-laws. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Ooh, everybody loves Raymond. Am I right? Where's Raymond?
Deborah, I gave Raymond the figurine. Raymond, where's the figurine I gave Deborah?
Let me take this one first. You want to make your house inhospitable to your mother-in-law, right? All you've got to do is casually mention during dinner that you and her son are now open and poly. And I hope you don't mind while you're here. We're going to be interviewing people for our thirds and maybe our fourths. And the interviews will be loud. And then make sure you call her mama.
Like, what's your work experience? Like that?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Like that. And if that doesn't work, I think if you keep the house stocked with allergens specific to the mother-in-law, that will scare her away.
Hmm.
You know?
Allergens are scary.
Yeah. Sorry. I hope you like your new peanut-filled pillows.
She's like, I specifically asked you for chocolate almond-covered pillows.
Oh, I knew I messed something up. So my solution is to lie.
Okay. I would recommend, if you want to keep your reputation with your mother-in-law still intact, if you don't want to have it your marriage sullied with extra people or the thought of extra people, I would recommend a moat around your house with sharpened spears. That so there is a drawbridge because you got to get in and out, but it's a voice activated drawbridge. And
a moat and a voice activated drawbridge with spears. What about the HOA?
Oh, you're not in an HOA neighborhood. Autonomy, baby.
Okay, so this is only going to help people who
they don't have HOAs in Trinidad.
You've already declared yourself a sovereign citizen at this point.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, if anybody tries to voice activate, because here's the trick with your voice activated moat. The because you'll say, it'll be like a fun, catchy phrase, like open sesame, right? Something winky and just like open sesame, like that voice. But it's only for you and your partner who, those are the only voices that will actually lower the moat. If somebody else tries to access it, it'll lower the bridge over the moat. But the second someone else tries to walk on it, spears will come down, like wooden sticks that are sharpened at the edge, like really primitive spears.
So you're like, yeah, I don't want my mother-in-law to think that I'm in a polyamorous relationship, but I will kill her.
Well, but you just pretend like it's like, oh, this was just, I needed the best security, and this is such a good security system.
And we can't add another profile to it.
We can't. The max is 2. Yeah,
even though it costs all this money that somehow isn't allowed.
Oh, that's part of the reason why it's such a good security system. The more people that have the key. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, Trinomamian.
Sorry, Bernice.
Wow. Thank you. That was something else.
So again, yours is a little more psychological. Mine a little more physical.
I'm going to try to be physical this next time.
Okay. Join me, won't you? It's... The water over here is just fine.
Thank you.
This next question comes from a listener who is on a research boat in the Arctic Circle.
Whoa.
And this listener wants to know.
Those ads really paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Anyways. What's the fastest way to get over an ex?
Oof. This is a tough one. There's obviously time heals all wounds, but you're asking for something faster than just regular time. So this is what I'd recommend. Go to Indianapolis, where they drive.
Indiana?
Indiana, and yes, Indiana, where they drive the Indy 500.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Find one of those drivers and ask him to give you a real fast ride around the track. and at the same time, have a clock with you or watch that you put double the amount of batteries in so it moves twice as fast.
I didn't know you could just fit more batteries in the thing.
Yeah. That's how watches work.
Oh.
You are learning so much tonight.
Do the watches have teeth?
Yes, actually they do, in the gears. They're called teeth. So the driver takes you around the track several times. It's fun, by the way. You're doing this. It's fun. Mm-hmm. You're going, wee, wee. But you will get out of the car, look at the watch, and be like, whoa, so much time has passed. That was way, like, it felt fast, but it went way, way faster. So you will feel as if you have accelerated the amount of time since you broke up with your
ex. I just have a question?
Mm.
You're the one putting the extra batteries in for the purpose of moving time faster, and yet you will be surprised when you see that it has done so.
No. So here, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to explain this part of it yet. There are special sleeping pills that you take. So the night before,
you give yourself... You put one of the sleeping pills into the handle of your toothbrush.
No, Joe, this is real advice.
Dedicated to the Arctic Circle. Go on.
There's a sleeping pill where it's kind of like you're roofieing yourself, but not really. Like you get a nice...
And it's yourself, so...
It's yourself. Who cares? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So you have special instructions when you... This is for specifically for getting over an X. So it's like a kit that you buy with the watch and the extra batteries and the sleeping pill. You take the sleeping pill. The sleeping pill starts to work. And then like there's a little alarm that goes off on the watch. You like tell the watch when you started it, right? The alarm goes off on the watch. You put the extra batteries in, and this happens right at the period of time when the sleeping pill sets in, where you're still awake and functional, but you're not going to remember this part the next day.
Hypnagogic.
Yep. So then, yes, exactly. So then you don't remember having put extra batteries in the watch. It also erases the memory of taking the sleeping pill and buying the kit.
And deletes the transaction from your bank account.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite a kit you're selling.
Well, I mean, sadly, people get dumped all the time.
They do. Speaking of dumped, I have an idea.
Okay.
You give them laxatives.
Okay.
A lot of laxatives. And you tell them you want to meet up and give them the last of their stuff. And then they show up and they do not feel well because of the laxatives. And they... have to blow up the Starbucks bathroom. As everyone knows, once you get the ick...
Wait, are you meeting them in Starbucks?
Yeah, to give them a... Because you need to be there when you want them to disgust you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
you've given them the laxatives prior to the stuff exchange.
Yeah, you know all about their life. You know how to get a laxative in them. I'm just saying... At least in my experience, as soon as someone does something like really gross to me or to me, you know, gross in the world, it's very easy to like not like them anymore.
Yeah.
So if I was with someone and that happened, I'd be like, okay, thanks. I needed that. I'm up against the door. Oh, he's really going off in there. Well, gotta go.
Okay.
So my kid only has laxatives, which we're reselling from the store.
and it comes with a video camera, so you can record the whole thing in case you ever want to remember it again.
Actually, due to privacy laws, it only has a microphone, but that'll be enough.
Yeah.
Actually, this is interesting. Yours was very mental and yours was actually physical.
I told you we were going to switch it up.
Yeah, you did. Good job, you two.
Yeah, that mental thing of going in an Indy 500 car.
Well, the mental tricking yourself into thinking that time passes quickly.
Yeah, that's true. All right. What's our next question?
Oh, am I allowed to ask?
Yes, please. Well, our listeners are.
Only listeners. Mm-hmm. Let me guess. This next one's from, don't tell me, Madagascar.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Stop it.
No.
Oh, Just tell us where it's really from.
Oh, I believed you.
It's from Tasmania.
Oh.
I was going to say Tunisia.
You devil.
I know. So it's close, but not technically Madagascar.
Okay, it's fine.
What's the most productive way I can tell my partner to just shut up?
Ooh. Okay.
Productive?
Effective, like least
No. What's the exact words of the submission? What did they want to know?
The submission said productive.
I would consider productive being like maximizing results but minimizing harm. So like you don't want this to, because you could just right now you could just say shut up, but that's going to have some serious effects on your relationship. It's going to cause a whole lot of tension, a lot of anger, whatever. So if you're trying to avoid having those problems, what do you do?
I've got it.
Okay.
You give them a sleeping pill nightly. A sleeping pill and a half. And when they're fully out, you take a little chisel and a hammer and you do 1 to 2 good whacks on their jaw. Mm. So that over time you break the jaw. But it's never so much all at once. And you do this in a few places. Now you're the supportive partner. No, babe, your jaw hurts? What? Let me see. Oh, it does look a little swollen. Huh? I'll make you an appointment. Hey, I'm with you.
You look smaxing? You heard that? The look smaxing people that break their jaw?
Yeah. I can make that joke. Yeah. Thanks. I'll put that in my pocket. You look smaxing, babe? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't joke. You look like you're in pain.
Anyway, you look smaxed like you're in pain.
We go to the doctor. Of course, there's multiple fractures. We don't know how this happened.
Whoops.
Now his jaw has to be wired shut.
Oh, no.
For probably 6 weeks. Guess who just shut up on medical orders?
Jesus Christ.
You didn't know where that's where this was going?
No, I knew, but I didn't realize you were going to go with wired shut. I thought it was just like,
okay,
let's talk a little less. don't work out your mouth as much.
Are you at all concerned that they'll be extra chatty when the wires come off because they've had 6 weeks worth of shit to talk about?
No, I'm going to buy them a whiteboard and a marker.
But then you're actually spending more time listening to their thoughts because it takes longer for them to write them out.
You're right. I'll give them my email address.
They currently don't have it.
Right, yeah.
So you got to relent or make a burner account or something and give them that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say, wait till you have 3 things to tell me, then put it in an email, and then delete 2 of the things that aren't as cool as the 3rd thing.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up, I only want 1 thing at a time.
Yeah.
I love you.
I think that would work at least for 6 weeks.
Guess what? We start all over again.
Whoops. Oh no, your jaw's breaking again.
Munchausen by chisel.
Well, I think this has been a very successful Dr. Truth.
I don't get to say how I would stop someone.
Oh. See, you're just so good. I thought you had answered already.
So I would put a full page ad in a newspaper. A newspaper that I knew my partner read.
That you news?
Oh, you. Nobody better break your jaw. And
nobody gonna slow you down. Oh.
I would then. The ad would be world's greatest silent contest. Anyone open to the whole world. But prize $10 million. Dollars, but it's worldwide.
You're opening this up to the whole world.
Yeah, well, because the great thing about this is there's no way to prove.
I think that there is because there's strict rules about contests.
No, it's not a real contest.
But the newspaper believes it is.
I'm going to in the tiniest little print possible. There's going to be a little like asterisk at the bottom that says. Parody, this isn't real, so it covers me legally.
Well, what if your significant other sees that? They're going to be...
No. I will break their reading glasses. And it'll just be huge font. And plus, they are so excited. They want $10 million. I mean, who doesn't want $10 million? But the problem is, it's like, okay, like all of our submissions, it's going to go, and it lasts as long as there's someone that's still being silent.
And where does this information come from? How do they know who's still playing?
Well, that's the thing is the they newspaper. Just have to appeal to. So every day they check in and they're like, is the contest still on? And
they're checking in with the newspaper. And what Jenna didn't tell you and why she's able to get away with these rules is that she's doing all of this in an underdeveloped country in Europe. So she doesn't have to deal with the U.S. Gaming Commission. So she can get around those rules and she can just bribe the editor in chief of the local newspaper.
Of that underdeveloped European country.
Yeah. I don't know. Like Kosovo. That's a country, I think.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds like Kokomo.
But so regardless, it's every day check in and then if they're like, no, the contest is like a number that you could call. The contest is still on.
Oh, good. You don't have to talk to get the
information. It's a recording. Yeah. You just, it's like when you call to get like the time.
It'd be funny if when you first call, it's like, hello, are you calling about the contest? And then like a beat and it's like, ah, I almost got you.
Listen after the beep. And then, so then it, you like every single day. Oh, I guess you can't talk then. Ooh, sorry, but we really need that $10 million. What? Oh, no, don't tell me. Yeah, so then.
But what about your relationship? Because when they find out this isn't true, they're going to be totally inconsolable.
They're never going to find out because as the contest never ends. Contest never ends because there's still always one person. So like literally it could be like anyone that's playing, if they die, they think they died with the contest still going.
Plus, how are they going to tell other people about this contest?
They can't.
They can't.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And the prize money was so high, and yet I am the only one who willingly opted into this contest, even though it was worldwide for $10 million.
No, that's the thing is, it's like, we don't know who the other participants are.
Yeah, plus the small font.
That small font. So, and I know this about my partner. They don't read fine print.
That's fair.
So anyway, that's how I do it.
And okay, well,
now
it's been a very successful segment of Dr. Truth.
Thank you, Dr. Truth.
You're welks.
You're welcome. Wait, aren't we Dr. Truth? Thank us.
I was thinking us.
Thank you, us.
Thank you. Us.
Us. All right. It's time for our final segment, the big question.
The question is very big.
Do you have one for me?
No.
I have one for you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for messing with me, though.
No, of course. It's fun. Here's my question.
Guess what? Guess what, Juby?
Mm.
You have just been selected to start a new company. Yeah, you have all this money. I'm done with this voice. Okay. You have all this money.
And you have been tasked with starting a new restaurant franchise.
Ooh.
Yeah. It can be fast food or sit down. You have to have a concept. What's special about it? And what do you serve? I don't need a whole menu. I just need an idea. And I need a name.
And $1 million in seed capital to get it started.
Well, as soon as I win this contest,
the one you just lost?
Oh, no!
No!
It's a terrible thing to have a podcast when you're in this contest. It would be called... It would be called Grandma's Kitchen.
Grandma's Kitchen?
No, just Grandma's Kitchen. Okay. I added the kitchen. I was thinking, is Grandma's enough?
Grandma's Kitchen?
Yes. This is how it would work.
Fuck is your word, Grandma?
You'll find out.
Okay.
So... It would essentially, you know how like super nice restaurants like comb people's social media
and their ponies, yes,
and, yes, and comb their ponies. That they like try to find out things about them to like give like
nice targeted.
It's like
yeah.
This restaurant for every customer that came in would have a different menu for each customer.
I love it.
Okay, it would only have one item. And it would be whatever the most comforting dish from that person's childhood is. They're not allowed to order anything else. It's just like, what's the meal that you love the most as a child? And... So everybody goes there and everybody gets a different experience because everyone has a different dish although there's probably a lot of dishes that get repeated.
Sure. Yeah. You're never going to know.
Yeah. So it would be a comfort place that's, yeah, that's like well curated. And then it would be, so I know what you're thinking. It would be, this is a lot of legwork to do for a restaurant. But it'll be worth it because, I mean, everybody that comes in is going to have this like insane nostalgia and overwhelming warmth, and this feeling of just like, this was the most comforting, like soothing meal of my life. And then word gets around and then it's like a firestorm and then everyone suddenly wants to pay to be part of this. So it pays for itself. There's a little bit upfront that it doesn't.
Yeah. And when you're checking out, there could be a give us $1 extra just to help option.
Yeah.
Help grandma's grandmas.
Yeah. So I think it would take off personally.
I would go because I want to see what my special.
Right. You don't even know. That's the other thing is it's revealing to you because unless you've come right out and been like, this is the thing that I love the most from my childhood. It could be like a surprise. You'd be like, oh, like I haven't actually specifically said, what are they going to give me? So I'm going to stop that. There's not even a menu. You just get served an item when you come in.
This is a winner.
Thank you.
Grandma's Kitchen.
Grandma's Kitchen. And is kitchen my word?
Ooh. Oh. You'd be catching up real quick if that was the case. I can't help myself but repeat it. Great job.
Yeah, thank you. And I really think, yeah, that everyone would want to go.
I would.
Because like, even if it's something like Chinese buffet was your favorite meal as a child, there would be a little Chinese buffet set up just for you.
But there is no, I don't want to say the K word again. There is none of that. But people are just finding out what you want and then running out to another restaurant and getting it and bringing it back.
No, the thing is our staff is talented enough. And really, like I said, there's probably the number of unique comfort dishes from someone's childhood are, there's not going to be that many. You're going to get a lot of mac and cheeses.
Oh, yeah. My comfort meal was 10 soft tacos supremes from Taco Bell.
Was there something? 9, not comforted. 11, too many.
It was a 10 for 10 deal.
Ah, man.
Yeah, I said beg for it.
Francis, what's your secret special restaurant?
My secret special restaurant?
Yeah.
Mine
is... It's your grandma's kitchen.
I'm not saying that again, just in case. I think it would be... a jungle. Nope. I take it back. It's not a jungle. I don't
of
know why I said
the PETA persuasion.
Or a rainforesty type look.
Yeah, that's what I was. I was like, nope, that's already been done. My solution to this is it's movie themed and it changes like quarterly. Right. So like you go in and it's like everything's like Die Hard, you know, and like even some people are talking like Die Hard, you know, like at other tables. Not everyone's a customer, but it's all like the scene. Then it'll change. And then next quarter is going to be a totally different movie. And like if it's Titanic, it's like it's an emergency. Like you're being served. But like people like are like running by in like life jackets and stuff and screaming, you know, and like maybe the floor is tilted a little. You know how those they have those like. Restaurants where the floor goes in a circle for like 90 minutes. Yeah. Maybe yeah. This is like tilting. And then by the time your stuff is moving, you have to leave. So it's just an immersive.
There's a little to go bag at the downward slope. Of everything. Yeah. It's time for you to go. It just slides.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. I love a good themed restaurant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if it was like the movie Seven, like your doggy bag could be a box.
Yeah, what's in the box?
You can't open it, take it home.
Seven would be a weird ass theme.
I was going to do Schindler's List.
Oh, hey. See?
It's for when you're on a diet.
Yeah.
You don't need to eat that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love a good theme.
Yeah, I was going to call it Movie Munch.
The word, that word is...
Is it reserved?
No, it's just... But I don't know. I don't know if it's an appetizing word.
Too teethy?
Not tubey enough.
Well, I think we've Grandma's Kitchen and your movie restaurant are...
Don't do it like that.
No, I'm doing it like that.
So what about Movie Mouth?
Movie Mouth?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about Mouth Munch?
What about Swallow Cinema? Well, you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we can workshop that.
We'll hack it in post.
Great. Well, I think we've successfully answered the big question.
The big question.
One final bit of business.
Oh, what would that be, Jubes?
Secret word time. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was not doing a good job of monitoring your speech the way I should have been.
Oh.
I have a few guesses and I don't think I've gotten.
Okay. Well, I love to hear that. So go ahead.
Is your word assaulted?
No.
Allergens?
No.
Concept?
No.
Okay, my last guess. Is it munch?
No.
Okay.
You know, for someone who didn't monitor my speech, you sure had a lot of guesses written down.
Yeah.
My word, are you ready?
Yeah.
My word was anorexia.
Oh.
Well, that was a long one.
Yeah.
And my decoy word was inconsolable.
I'm trying to remember. When did you say anorexia? I remember.
When you said you were eating toothpaste.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, I should have guessed guillotine. But no, that actually did
occur
to me.
Wait a minute. Hearing the correct word, you think in retrospect.
Well, now, no, that's what I'm talking about. I should have heard the word guillotine and that should have been one of my guesses.
Okay.
No. Yes. Okay. And then inconsolable.
Yeah.
When did you say that?
When you were talking about the contest that you made up. And I said when they found out they'd be inconsolable.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, really? All right, my turn.
Okay.
I'm scared. Is it grandma?
No.
Oh, thank God. Is it kitchen?
Nope.
Thank goodness. All right, let's get to the meat. The first thing I wrote down was bleach.
No, you can't drink bleach. That's not
no.
it.
No. Anonymous.
Listeners, get yourself a big mug of bleach.
Don't do it.
Next to your favorite speaker and listen to our podcast.
Right now at Grandma's Kitchen.
That was my favorite meal as a child.
Yeah.
What if someone goes to Grandma's Kitchen and they just have like a little thing of toothpaste and that was their comfort meal?
Was it you?
No. No, okay.
Anonymously.
On. Nope.
Ketchup.
Nope.
Indianapolis.
No.
Legwork.
No.
Moat.
Nope. These are all regular ideas that I had.
Drawbridge.
Nope.
Firestorm.
That was my decoy
Shit!
Word. You had a bunch. Yeah, you flew too close to the sun, my
friend.
Got
burned.
Which I'm pretty sure legwork was a secret word on a prior episode.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh, damn it. All right, what was your word?
My word was generating, and you know my decoy word was firestorm. You know that because you guessed it. Oh, yeah.
Well, you got a point.
I got a point. That's one exciting. Point for Jubes. Oh, yeah. Well, I still am losing, but I need to...
Stop that. You're going to win.
yeah. Well, all in all, I feel pretty good about that. I saw you write down Firestorm after I said it, and I was like, thank God. I hope he doesn't say I think this is your decoy. But I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Whatever.
No contest for $10 million for me. I'm going to speak all I want.
Me too.
Meow, 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 meow. Well.
That's why I chose to speak, I guess.
thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Go to veryfinefriends.com if you want to see the point total. And follow us on social media at veryfinefriends. Joe, did you find legwork in the past paperwork?
That was only from episode 10. I'm pretty sure it was in an early episode.
An earlier episode? Okay.
I think it was like 6 or 7.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.